The United Kingdom continues its long march toward an authoritarian surveillance state, this time with a social media ban for anyone under the age of 16.
Government is assuming here that anybody who uses a VPN is doing so for nefarious purposes.
For a human being to become a trillionaire, I don't know why so many people are in awe or they even celebrate this. All that does, it confirms, is that what you're measuring in is complete rubbish.
The United Kingdom continues its long march toward an authoritarian surveillance state, this time with a social media ban for anyone under the age of 16. This might come as a surprise to some, but anybody paying close attention saw it coming from a mile or a kilometer away. And the bad news, it's only going to get worse. Hey, everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Tony and Katie here with me. But first, please smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, and be sure to stay tuned to the end for our Donkey of the Week. It's a good one and a name you'll recognize. Tony, Katie, let's jump right into this. So social media firms are hitting back as Starmer announces a ban for under 16s in the UK. Katie, you've dug into this a little bit. I would love to hear your analysis first, and then Tony, let's hear your rant.
The UK is now following Australia in enacting this draconian approach to restricting social media for teenagers aged up to 17. And they also want to make curfews for older teens who are already, in fact, old enough to drive, work, live independently, and enlist in the military. But apparently, they require the nanny state to protect them from harmful content in the evenings. So Australia's crackdown has shown really mixed results. We know that many kids have been finding their ways around these bans. So sometimes with the help of their parents, and at least 60% of the Australian kids are reporting they still have access to at least one banned platform. So, you know, and we've discussed before how kids have been able to fool these age verification systems with fake moustaches. So the UK is going even further than Australia, and they're drafting a law that would require client-side scanning of devices via the Online Safety Act, which will require all images, messages, and videos to be scanned before any encryption occurs. And this is apparently or purportedly to look for images that contain nudity. To me, this is a very underhand way of ensuring that all internet users and not just kids will be required to link their online activities to a real identity. And on top of that, you know, be aware that everything that they store on their devices could potentially be scanned and that information passed to the government and who knows who else. So,
yeah, insanity.
This is all couched in we must protect the children at any cost, which is completely laughable considering what governments, including the UK government, did in the era of around 2020 to 2022, you know, forcing kids to stay home, separating them from family and friends, making them wear masks, and giving them experimental medications. So the fact that the UK government all of a sudden wants to protect kids is kind of a joke. So I think that this is very sneaky rhetoric because nobody, especially parents, are going to want children to be deliberately exposed to harm. But the problem is that every person who accesses the internet is potentially caught in this net. And this is only the starting point. So when you combine device level monitoring with their Online Safety Act, which means you can get arrested for stirring up hatred, you can see where this potentially goes. Are people going to self-censor? They won't even need the government to do it for them. I've seen this happen before. So this is like watching Orwell's 1984 come to life before our eyes. You know, and how did Orwell know that this was going to happen? Well, he'd seen it all before. You know, nowadays the problem is that a majority of people, they don't have the awareness of these sort of historical contexts and events and patterns. I mean, most have never read Orwell, and they fall for the propaganda, protect the children, not realizing the trap that is being laid.
You nailed it. Tony, take it away, man.
Man, I'd get upset if this wasn't so comical. You know, it almost reminds me of, you know, like having my grandfather lead a team for cybersecurity, where the only thing he's known was a shovel his entire life, right? How do we get to a point where these buffoons are in power to, and even get to the point where they're even, you know, talking this talk and, you know, passing or attempting to pass this this garbage. It's really like mind blowing, you know, how far we've come. The funny thing about this is that it is a joke, and, you know, like, and it writes itself because none of these attempts will work. In fact, the silver lining in all of this is that these stupidities are usually what pushes the world, people, to find workarounds and solutions that completely annihilate any future attempt and obsoletes all the current ones. They tried to do it in the past, you know, with the abolishment of music file sharing and, you know, movie piracy and all that stuff. And all they did was, you know, push it towards a state where it's unstoppable. They tried to weaponize the money against the people. And what happened? Well, now we have the torrents of money, Bitcoin, in full self-custody that they cannot stop. What are they, you know, defaulting to? They keep trying to find extremes in order to, you know, maintain their grip on power. That's all it is. These people are petrified. Their timeline is limited. Their window of relevancy is fading really, really fast. And they are preying on mass ignorance in order to pass, you know, these absurd laws. No one with half a cent of a brain should be complying with these idiots. And the dangerous part about this is that big tech is being coerced now to comply. For example, if companies like Apple or Google start implementing this nonsense at the OS level, then it doesn't matter what apps you have running. The spyware is running before any app has even loaded. In which case, you either stop buying these products and you defund these companies that are contributing to the demise of society, and, you know, you support open source developments that will grow and will flourish in order to find workarounds to make a joke out of all of these efforts. The trouble is, too many people blindly comply. They don't question anything. They don't think. They don't, you know, they don't look further than, you know, half an inch in front of their nose to understand what the long-term ramifications are. Our children are our business. No one put you in charge to make decisions to how we raise our kids. You figure out how to raise your own kids. The ball stops there. Your intervention in other people's lives and kids is a no-go. And I'm hoping there's going to be enough pushback to end it once and for all. Like, we shouldn't even be having these moronic conversations, let alone listening to these clowns, you know, dictate this garbage in this day and age. Like, how far down in decay has society come to, right? Are the UK citizens that complacent that, you know, they just let themselves get run over? What's next if this something like this is going to pass? Do you think things get better? Do you think your kids are any safer? They will find the next thing to use and abuse you and put you further into that, you know, dystopian cage that they drool about day in and day out. Say no, you know, non-compliance is the only way to end this garbage.
Yeah, Tony, I think you hit on a really important point. For all of the technical and mechanical considerations of how this is rolled out and how people are going to circumvent it, it's just none of their damn business. I can raise my kids myself. I don't need Keir Starmer or Trump or whoever's coming next in any jurisdiction to tell me what to do with my kids. Alrighty, guys, we're going to stay in the UK for a minute because along these lines, they are considering now a VPN ban. So Starmer's regime is barreling toward full-blown authoritarian control, and they're not even trying to hide it anymore. This is not unexpected coming from this government, but it says he's racing to ram this through before the public boots him out. No detailed plan, no proper scrutiny, just more control. Tony, I'll let you rant on this for a minute.
It won't work. And these attempts, in my opinion, are completely useless. However, it will work on people who don't know any better. There are many garbage VPN apps out there. You know, most of them are no good. In fact, a lot of them are spyware in and of themselves that are marketed as, you know, safety tools. But the good ones, you know, word will get around to identify what they are. And these projects are completely open source. You cannot shut them down. You may try to scare someone from developing something in one part of the world, but the code is open. It'll spread like the wind and it'll rise up somewhere else. And before you know it, it will be, you know, strengthened and made so good that no force in this universe is going to be able to stop and control it. And of course, when you try to restrict people's freedoms, they're going to push back. And, you know, the more you try, the harder the pushback. And at one point, you know, your efforts will be rendered completely obsolete. So in the meantime, you have to deal with this garbage and this nonsense and these headaches that these useless politicians that understand absolutely nothing about the tech world are trying to impose here. All they're doing is pissing people off and trying to make everybody's lives miserable. I don't think it's going to work. I hope more people pay attention to this. I hope the right message reaches these folks, and I hope more people get angry, because this is what's going to be required in order to terminate these efforts.
What I would add, though, is that they are going to make the on-ramps into a more private online life more difficult. So everyone, click the link below, schedule a call with our team. You can learn about how we can help you with your online privacy, setting up a privacy phone, get all of this stuff in place before they make your life more and more difficult. Katie, what's your analysis and assessment of the VPN ban?
So this is getting to the same sort of level as North Korea or China. I mean, and even China, with their enormously powerful state apparatus, are waging an ongoing arms race against citizens who are constantly finding ways around the Great Firewall. So how the UK plans to achieve the same thing really boggles the mind. I mean, like Tony said, the problem with these politicians is that most of them are career politicians who have little or no real world experience in anything, let alone tech, and probably struggle to operate their iPhones, let alone understand what a VPN is and how it works. I mean, censors can try to block VPNs by IP addresses, but it just turns into this massive game of whack-a-mole. And you've got the issue of the government is assuming here that anybody who uses a VPN is doing so for nefarious purposes, but there are actually a lot of genuine use cases for people using VPNs. And we can kind of take it to the extreme and say, you know, what about people who simply cannot afford to have their identity revealed online? Like, for example, investigative journalists, dissidents, whistleblowers. And even, you know, just nowadays, a lot of remote work relies on VPNs. You know, the government can't just go around banning VPNs willy-nilly without affecting many people who are using them for genuine reasons.
Well, Katie, I don't think they want investigative journalism and dissidents.
That is true.
Freedom fighters operating, which is maybe explains the whole premise of this sort of bullshit. All righty, guys, we've got Elon Musk. This is big news. He's become the world's first trillionaire. Now, $1 trillion doesn't buy what it used to. However, congrats to Elon. Now, my comment, I told you guys offline, I went and did just a quick bit of research on this. From what I gathered, SpaceX, and as well as his other business ventures, if you add up the, I'll call it broadly subsidies, so like government loans, government contracts, tax credits, like $38 billion worth of value has been provided. So this is a quick number from chat. $1 trillion of its value comes from a roughly maybe $15 billion business that is Starlink, and actually for retail. And then another like $500 billion is stuff that we never asked for, that the government's paying for contracts, International Space Station, all that stuff. To me, it's like, okay, good for him. He's a smart guy. He's innovative. This is not quite the excitement that I think many people feel about Elon. But I would love to hear your thoughts, Tony.
The extremes to which gambling has come to is really frightening. I'm so happy I walked away from the legacy world and I don't have to, you know, deal with all of these things other than just read about them in headlines. For a human being to become a trillionaire, I don't know why so many people are in awe or they even celebrate this. All that does, it confirms, is that, you know, what you're measuring in is complete rubbish. You know, that worthless piece of paper forced one living being to have so much of it. What does it tell you? That it's worth nothing. If he's a trillionaire in US dollars, can you imagine? I don't even know what they call the term in any other currency. In my opinion, this is not good news. I wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole. I have a feeling a lot of people are about to get completely wrecked by this. I don't see this as anything to celebrate personally. Some people might, you know, disagree with me and think, you know, that this is like such a good, you know, store of value, or source like profit making and what have you. To me, this looks like a fire that's about to, you know, go out of control and take out a lot of people along, you know, along with it.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I would add too that I think it took Apple like 37 years post IPO to hit a trillion, and SpaceX just IPO'd over a trillion. You need no better indication that the money is just fundamentally fractured and flawed. And that's just the unfortunate situation. Katie, before we get to you, I just want to remind everyone, smash that like button, make sure you subscribe to the channel. Katie, what do you think about Elon Musk?
Well, I had to go and have a look and find out how he compared with other very wealthy people. And Musk is now 4 times wealthier than the next wealthiest person, which is Google co-founder Larry Page. So we now have a situation where there is actually a growing wealth gap among the ultra wealthy. So also to put this in context, Musk's wealth has grown 40x. Since 2020. I mean, I don't know about you, Michael or Tony, but my wealth hasn't 40x'd since 2020. And, you know, a lot of people get mad about Musk being this wealthy, but what they're not seeing is that he is merely a symptom of a system that is so broken that someone who is already extraordinarily wealthy can grow their wealth another 4,000% in 6 years. I mean, people scream, tax the wealthy, but that fixes nothing. And Musk is the perfect example of the Cantillon effect, whereby those closest to the fiat money spigot stand to benefit the most. And the rest of us at the bottom, we get inflation and devalued dollars. And of course, this is exactly how it's designed to work. You can't have a fiat system that inevitably creates inequality so extreme that most of us can't even comprehend it. Like, this is the outcome of that system.
Tony, you alluded to the bubble around some of this stuff, and we have this tweet here. The S&P 500 concentration in AI stocks is now 49% of the index. This is the highest concentration since the railroad bubble of the 1800s, so way bigger than even the dot-com bubble. Katie, I'd love your thoughts on this. Is this just a bubble ready to burst?
I mean, this is more or less really a reflection of the overall tech stock concentration in the S&P 500. I mean, the drum that I keep banging on is that these large tech companies are currently benefiting from passive inflows allocated by retirement funds, 401ks, and these people who are buying these index funds, believing it's a way to diversify, which I don't think it is at all. But what they don't understand is that the money that they're putting into it is distributed by the weighting of a particular stock's market cap in that index and not by its actual value in any sense. So you end up with this kind of self-fulfilling loop where the bigger a stock grows, the more money it attracts, and the bigger it grows. And not by any other merit other than its huge market cap. Now, this is fantastic. Well, the party is still going on and you're buying these index funds and you're watching the stock market, you know, continuously hitting all-time highs. But once they stop the music and switch the lights back on, lots of people are going to be in for a nasty shock because it will unwind just as rapidly.
Yes, Tony, you're probably sitting there in your Robinhood account hitting sell on all of these tech stocks now, aren't you? What do you think about this bubble?
Not only will it unwind rapidly, it'll unwind exponentially faster than its rise. Most people have no idea what they're buying. This reminds me, like, you know, the meme stock, you know, back during the days, you know, where the safe moon, you know, cryptocurrencies and all that nonsense was the newest kid on the block and everybody was like diving headfirst. There's a massive capital rotation into this. Why? I have no idea. But people are desperate, man. These are like extreme gambling games that people are getting into, hoping that somehow miraculously it fixes their situation. Like you said, Katie, this is a symptom of a bigger problem. The whole ecosystem is rigged and people think, you know, they're going to find a fix and a solution, you know, by, you know, playing with more counterparty risk and by taking, you know, more gambling and by doing, you know, all these stupid things that they don't understand. The collapse for this, in my view, is going to be historic considering how much money is going into it. You know, we saw capital rotations out of Bitcoin of all things. Can you like imagine like the level of nonsense that people go to in order to think they're going to save themselves financially? Unfortunately, this is all part of this journey, right? Like, I mean, those who understand that the legacy system is a corrupt playground have opted out. But, you know, there's too many people that still don't know this or still don't want to believe it. And so them getting wrecked and learning that lesson the most horrendous, painful way, maybe that's a prerequisite in order to change, right? Let's see how this plays out. I wouldn't touch this personally, and I wouldn't recommend it to anyone I care about. Too many people are going to become exit liquidity, as far as I can tell.
Absolutely. Bitcoin is self-custody only. And if you need help with that, by the way, click the link below. We can walk you through it step by step. Okay, guys, this was a top contender for Donkey of the Week, but not actually. We've got one more after this, so stick around for that. But Trump's family made $2.3 billion on their whole crypto nonsense. It was matched by $2.25 billion in investor losses. This is according to Reuters. Tony, rug pulls, Ponzi's everywhere. What's your take on Trump?
When you have presidents playing these games and, you know, ripping off people like this, I'm at a loss for words. Like, I honestly don't know what to comment anymore. Like I said, you know, I've walked away from this world. I'm watching it from the sidelines. It breaks my heart to see, you know, people lose funds and still, you know, wear these blinders, thinking that they're going to find a solution, you know, from within the system that's making their life a living hell. Listening to the words of politicians, relying on them for financial decisions is just, you know, at this point, it's just mental illness, because like how many more bad things have to happen and how much higher do prices have to go and how much effort do you still have to waste before you learn that lesson? I mean, now no one's even hiding it anymore. You've got the highest echelon of people full out, you know, running these scams publicly, and they don't care. Why? Because no one does anything about it. There's zero accountability. So to win at this game, you can't attack it head first. You have to opt out. You have to leave it. And if enough people do it, it just, you know, withers to irrelevancy by itself. But as long as people pay attention to it and think that somehow it has value, well, again, it's part of that journey of bad news after bad news until eventually you stop being stupid.
Well said. Katie, I know you're underwater on your Trump coin investment. Is this a hard headline for you to read?
It is. It is. Look, anything that the Trump family touches seems to be one big scam designed to extract money for their benefit. I mean, Trump has openly admitted the worst kept secret of his presidency, that he knows full well that he can move markets up and down with one of his various announcements. You know, and if we think that insiders aren't taking advantage of this, then I'm afraid we are the idiots. And, you know, this is a warning to stay well away from crypto in general. Anything that's not Bitcoin, anything that's crypto, stay well away from it, because you will lose, you will get rug pulled, and someone else will benefit. And, you know, I'm sorry that people fell for this particular scam and lost money, but anyone silly enough to buy a Trump or Melania meme coin obviously needed to learn a very harsh lesson in why you don't trust the Trump family or crypto, and you certainly don't trust the two of them together.
Yes. Life can be so simple. Just buy Bitcoin, take self-custody, ignore all the noise. You could literally turn off your computer, the TV, log out of social media, and you would be just fine if you just did those things. Alrighty, guys, we have finally reached our Donkey of the Week. So jailed crypto founder Sam Bankman-Fried, or scam bankster fraud, it seeks a Trump pardon. So he's been in appeals over his sentence. I think I might have seen actually this morning that didn't work for him. So he's going for a pardon. Tony, you were around in 2022 to see all of this unfold. I think you probably saw it coming from a mile away. Do you think the man deserves a pardon?
I personally think he's a lot safer in jail than if he were to walk out in public. considering how many people he wrecked and destroyed lives. He should stay in jail as far as I'm concerned. But if history is any indication, he is better off inside his cell than out in public. People that do what he does don't usually last long.
Yeah. Katie, what do you think? Do you have a strong opinion on SBF?
So, yeah, I had to do a little bit of reading about this because I haven't paid any attention to SBF recently. So he's only a few years into a 25-year sentence. And apparently he is spending his days behind bars helping other inmates learn about money. I thought that was very interesting. And generally just being a good boy and staying out of trouble. I have very little sympathy for this man. I just cannot buy that someone with SBF's purported level of genius can unknowingly and unwittingly scam people out of millions of dollars. And apparently the judge didn't either. So SBF is most definitely a donkey, but there are also many banker donkeys that have never seen the inside of a cell, have undoubtedly caused probably even more grief and damage than SBF did. And it seems like he's unlikely to get a pardon. At least Trump has already indicated he's not interested in pardoning him. And there has been some pushback by Congress, but, you know, Biden pardoned his own son. So honestly, no president on either side of the divide, who they pardon, it will never surprise me.
Well, I guess SBF, maybe he should have stopped funding the Democrats for so many years. Trump could be more sympathetic. Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's a donkey. Katie, I think my unpopular take on SBF is, first of all, I don't think he was a genius. I'm semi-sympathetic. I obviously sympathize way more with the people who got wrecked. I think he lost control of this like Rube Goldberg machine he was building and just had no idea what he was doing. I think he was way in over his head. So I think he deserves the time. I'm not excusing that, not saying Trump should pardon him, but I don't think he was a genius. I think he was just a lost little boy, personally. Anyway, guys, I think that's a good place to wrap up. We had a good donkey of the week. Good chat. For everyone who tuned in, really appreciate you being here. This is your last chance. Make sure you smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, click the links below to learn more about our services, how we can help you. And Tony, Katie, always fun chat. And we will catch up again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.